Chapter 1. Success. The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. Henry David Thoreau, 1817-1862. Once there was a very successful person. In fact, he was more than successful. His life had meaning and purpose. He was investing his time on earth wisely and making a significant difference in other people's lives. He had come to terms with himself. He knew his strengths and managed around his weaknesses. Every day was a fresh opportunity to become a better person. He understood, appreciated, and loved many people. In turn, people were attracted to him, whether family, friends, business associates, or casual acquaintances. But it hadn't always been that way. He carried memories of frustration from years when his life had no foundation or purpose. Then, living was just going through the motions, stretched out along a string of days spent reacting to circumstances and people. Flashes of clarity were too often blurred by urgencies. There was no true focus or sense of knowing who he really was. He was not in control of his life, and not his own person. That was many years ago. Things were different now. He had learned a great deal since then, and had put it into practice. He had learned to be on purpose. Learning to perform. As a boy, he felt ordinary. Just ordinary. He was often awkward and embarrassed, but mostly just unnoticed. In middle school and high school, he overcame his awkwardness by blending in with friends. Going along with the crowd was easier and more acceptable than standing out. He kept out of real trouble and stayed on good terms with most people. All in all, life was pretty good then, at home and at school. As a college student, he believed he could change the world, but the day-to-day pressures for grades overpowered his dreams. He honed his ability to sense what others wanted. He knew that the majority rules in a democracy, so becoming part of the majority was a way to gain acceptance. It was an easy, low-conflict approach. Just wait and see, and then do as others do. His strategy of accommodation worked. He was popular and became a student government leader. It was a rush to have a taste of big man on campus status. Success followed relatively easily. He figured out what others wanted and then acted accordingly. Socializing helped him keep up on the majority opinion. So he continued to be popularly positioned among the student body, faculty, and school administration alike. He had the titles, the roles of leadership, but not the heart of a leader. This double life, nevertheless, had its benefits. He had discovered the secret to success. Or had he? Climbing the ladder. He was in his senior year. College life had been great. True, his grades had slipped, as he could have been a better student. His girlfriend grew more demanding. His relationship with his parents was strained. And his brother was a nuisance. So what? He could deal with all that later when he had more time. After all, he was accomplished at smoothing things over, putting off conflict until another day. He graduated and took his choice of several job offers. He got on board with a large, well-respected company. His friends were getting married, so he and his girlfriend tied the knot. It was time, and was also a good move for his career. At work, he was promoted to manager. He bought a new car and a nice house in the suburbs. He and his wife were expecting a child. His star was on the rise. Each rung of his climb on the corporate ladder to power and responsibility was hard won. His ability to detect and deliver on other people's expectations was now masterful. His boss continued giving him good reviews and raises, and he was popular with those who reported to him. Things were going well on other fronts, too. His parents were proud of him. His wife and children were well cared for. The family moved into a bigger house in a nicer, more expensive neighborhood. His kids began attending a private school. To make more business contacts, he became an active volunteer for several not-for-profit organizations and even served on the board of a couple of them. His climb up the ladder was taking him to the top. He had the corporate title, financial rewards, and social standing to show for it. Success. He had it all. Or did he? Unraveling revealed. Maintaining success was work. Somewhere along the way, the shining star of success began losing its luster. At work, challenges and opportunities were turning into frustrations and disappointments. He was bored and going through the motions. He couldn't quit his job because his family counted on him as the provider. Worse, his personal finances were out of control. The more money he made, the more he and his family wanted, and the more they spent. There was never enough. Deep inside, he wondered, "Who am I really? What's become of my dreams? What should I do? Is this all there is to life?" Resentment and impatience toward everything and everybody took root. Afraid he would explode from frustration and blurt things he might later regret, he avoided personal conversations and increasingly withdrew from others in a quiet prison of being without a principled point of view. He was the image of success on the outside, but on the inside, he was slowly dying. He couldn't keep it all together anymore. There just wasn't enough time in the day to do everything he was supposed to do, even though he worked harder and longer. He got up earlier and went to bed later. He was always late to his kids' after-school activities, if he got there at all. His parents grew increasingly dependent on him. Everyone's expectations weighed heavily on him. He hated disappointing people. The company expected him to be active in the community. He felt caught in the middle when he was asked to head the charity drive at the local civic club. Where was he going to find the time? Things at home weren't any better, although he wasn't exactly sure when the shift had taken place. His wife's encouragement had turned into nagging. Her conversation was simply irritating static. He responded by tuning her out as background noise, or engaging her in yet another inconclusive argument, climaxed by storming out of the room. They talked, but had little true communication. The children? They were growing up so quickly. He hardly knew or even talked with them. When their ears weren't occupied with electronic devices, family communication meant battles over grades, arguments about house rules and appearance, endless requests for transportation, and money for this, that, and the next newest thing. "What's happening to me?" he thought. "Where did things go wrong?" He felt stuck in a life that was a comfortable lie. Trying to make his life make sense. He fantasized about restarting his life, a new job, a new town, and a new wife. He would be true to himself this time and not get so overcommitted. Oh, for a fresh start and a simpler life. Even suicide occurred to him as a way out. But he couldn't do that. Everyone expected better from him. He knew it was wrong. After all, he thought, what would God think about suicide? Then it hit him. Wait a minute. Where is God in the midst of all this? I'm so abandoned and alone. Waves of withdrawn loneliness washed over him. No one understood his situation. How much longer until his facade of success crumbled and exposed his reality of disrepair and despair? Life was unfulfilled, empty, and meaningless. There was no point to it. He was just another busy person, not making a difference, and just going through the motions. How could he get back in touch with what was important to him? He had played his invented life role for so long that he was no longer sure he knew who he really was, or what he wanted from life, or what he had to give. Secretly, he felt he was letting everyone down. Especially himself. These thoughts increased the pressure all the more. He was running out of time. His balancing act grew too risky, precarious, and difficult to maintain. An ever so frayed string held his tightly wound life together. But it wasn't really his life. He was an empty suit, an outer shell of a person who was the picture of success with a hollow core. He was out of control, out of touch with his dreams and his true self. The state of his inner life overflowed to his outer life. He was visibly overweight, frustrated with his job, anxious about his children, and distant from his wife. He escaped by drinking and working more. In the midst of his success, he was scared to death and miserably unhappy. His life seemed to be one big snarl of conflicts, leaving him feeling compromised and void. The truth, if exposed, would ruin him. Attempts to confide his anxieties and fears to a buddy were dusted off with, "Don't worry, you've got it made, man. We should all have your problems." These well-intended words of encouragement left him feeling more alone and confused than ever. He was lost at sea, crying out for help, and the passing boaters waved and kept cruising. Misguided platitudes only heightened his desperation. Reaching out for help was increasingly difficult. "This can't be all there is to life," he cried to himself. "There must be more. Who can I turn to for help? There must be a way out of this dead end, a way to make it work, a way to find meaning and significance. There must be a purpose for my life." Something clicked just then. Purpose. The word snapped him to attention. He recalled hearing about a remarkable man who was known as an on-purpose person. Racking his brain to remember, he recalled, "Oh yes, he's a college professor." The man searched the web and found the college professor's name and telephone number. Something had to change, and he needed help. What did he have to lose?